In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Listen, every team has a roster. Every school has an enrollment. Every military has an enlistment. And every believer needs a local body of believers where we connect and are committed to caring for one another. The question I have for you today is, are you a part of the family of faith? Is this your church? It doesn't have to be this church, but you need a church family where you are fully committed. Let me just say, first of all, publicly, thank you for being my church, for being a place that has welcomed me and my family and being such a great place for us. Thank you so much for all of the kind affirmations for our 15 years together. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for all the kind words in the many forms. Thank you for recognizing Diana. I tell you the truth, no one feels the weight of ministry leadership like does the First Lady. And yes, I'm borrowing a term from brother and sister churches that understand that role. So thank you for honoring her. Thank you for these 15 years. This is my church. So the purpose of this series that we're beginning today is to unapologetically invite you to be a part of our family, to invite you to join the team, to invite you to get in the game. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's so easy for us to kind of come to church with this almost spectator mentality. I mean, you come here, you come in this room, you find your seat, you watch what happens. And in fact, occasionally I'll have somebody come up to me, somebody that's new, that's never been here before. I'll see them out there in the commons afterwards, and they'll come up and say something like this: "Man, what a great show." And let me tell you, I hear that and I understand what they're saying. It's a compliment. They're saying, I see excellence, I see passion, I see commitment. But make no mistake about it, we are not called to be spectators. The fun is on the field. The fun is in the game. Think about a football stadium, for example. I heard somebody put it this way. You know what a football stadium is? It's 22 guys on the field desperately in need of rest, and a stadium with tens of thousands of people in the seats who are desperately in need of exercise. I thought that's a pretty good description, isn't it? Well, here at New Work Fellowship, I want you to hear it clearly. We don't want you just sitting in the seats. We want you on the team. We want you to be part of the family, pulling together toward the common mission. Together, we are a community with a mission. You know, this year as I'm going through my chair time and reading the Bible through, one of the things I'm trying to do is to constantly focus on that phrase, community, and watch for community. And it is amazing to me. The good news of God's redemption has always been and always will be in community. It's not a solo activity. I mean, think about it. Even the old pages of the Old Testament, you read about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's like there is this generational community and togetherness. It's never about just now. It's about those who came before, those who are going to come afterwards. That's why it tells you, teach your children and teach your children's children. We are in it together. 59 times in the New Testament, it uses what I call the one another commitments that are to be a part of our faith and our journey together. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, confess your sins one to another. Make no mistake about it, in this community called church, We're really not called to be spectators. We are on a mission together. Now, if you've been here at New Work Fellowship for a while, you know what our mission is, do you not? You read it on the wall before you ever come into the worship center. It's there clearly for everybody to see. This is our mission. We exist so that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Christ, and go as the body of Christ. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack each of those key words: know and grow and go. And today is all about know. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, what I'm preaching over these 3 weeks, as I told you last week, this is actually our First Steps class. Every week during this series, you are going to have the opportunity to join the community, to be a part of all that God is doing here, to move out of the stadium and to get onto the field. So when you came in, you were handed some things today, and let me ask you to pull those out. One of the things that you were given was the membership covenant card. It looks just like this, and this is the covenant that New Work Fellowship has used from the beginning of the church some 25 years ago. Every person that God draws in to this family of faith has made this same commitment. This is what we expect of every person who says, I want to be a part of this family of faith. These are the commitments that we make to one another. I will protect the unity of my church. I will share the responsibility of my church. I will serve the ministry of my church. I will support the testimony of my church. And listen, by the time our worship service ends today, you're going to have the opportunity to make this commitment for yourself to be a part of the team. Now, to do that, let me walk you through this side of this membership covenant. At the beginning, at the very top, there's a box that says, I will watch all three sermons. Now, I created a little confusion in the first service. Those folks thought I was asking them to stay and listen to this three times over. That's not it. I'm talking about the next 3 weeks. And the idea here is we just want you to know who we are. We want you to know where we're headed as a church. And that also exposes you to the Spirit of God, because He's the one who's going to tap your heart and say, this is the place where you need to be committed to a family of faith. And so we want you to be a part of these three messages, just like you would be a part of the entire class. So I will watch those three messages. The second part of this, number one there, it talks about your commitment to Jesus. Let me just say, we are a Jesus people. It is all about Jesus. We want to make sure that you have made a personal commitment of your life to Jesus Christ, that you have experienced the saving grace of the work that Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so we ask you questions about Jesus. And then once that decision is made to give yourself to following after Jesus, the next question that we have for you is about baptism, and that's the number two here. You'll remember that when Jesus began His ministry, He went to John and He was to be baptized, and John was like, whoa, I should be the one baptized by you. And Jesus said to John, listen, to fulfill all righteousness, we're going to do this. Baptism is a step of following after Jesus. Jesus took that step. Likewise, we have the opportunity to take that step. It is an outward declaration of what God has done in your heart. And so we ask you, have you taken that step of believer's baptism? Now, let me give you a quick spoilers alert. Before this service is over today, you could be baptized today. Right now, all excuses taken off the table. In the course of this message, you will have the opportunity to respond in baptism today. Now, the reason that we do membership this way is we want to make sure you know from the outset where God is taking us. Think of it like this. If I was to go on to a trip, or if you were to go on to a trip, in fact, let's just say we hypothetically today find ourselves at a place in life where we are just tired of all the cold and ice, right? And you want to go on a trip. Let me tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to just show up at an airport and say, put me on a plane somewhere. Lord help, they might send you to Minneapolis. That's not where you want to go, right? You want to know where you're going before you board that plane. And so we have a membership class called First Steps for the purpose of telling you, this is where we're going as a church. This is where God is leading us. This is the direction that we are headed. And so we want you to be a part of that. If God is calling you, if God is leading you, we want you to know where we're going from your first steps. So today, I am inviting you to take those first steps. If you've not already joined the team and you feel that God's Spirit is saying this is the place that you are supposed to be, then let me encourage you to sign up. Did you know that this is our 25th anniversary year as a church? New Work Fellowship has been around for 25 years. That means this year you have the opportunity to be a part of the family in our anniversary year. And so we encourage you to sign up. So the first word that we're looking at in this class is the word no. Our focus today, we exist so that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to know Christ. Now, there is a passage of Scripture that I want to encourage you to turn to, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read in just a moment verses 10 and 11. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about how much he wants to know Jesus Christ. Now, as you're finding that passage, let me take just a minute to introduce myself to you. My name's Kevin Lee. I am one of the pastors here. Would love the opportunity to meet you in the commons after this service. And listen, if you haven't already done so, let me encourage you to access our digital connect card and to fill that out. The easy way to do that is to scan that QR code, but that helps us stay connected. Now, I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Listen to what he says. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. Notice what Paul said. I want to know Christ. And so again, I ask you the simple question. Do you know him? We exist as a church for the very purpose of making that introduction to you, that you would personally know Jesus Christ. Listen, far more important than joining a church, far more important than getting on the team, is making sure that you are right with God. And the only way that that happens is by getting to know his son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for you. Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Listen, spiritually speaking, Jesus came into this world for the express purpose of rescuing you and me. He came to fix a problem that you and I have that we cannot fix on our own. And the problem that he came to fix is a problem called sin. Now, the word sin, it simply means to miss the mark. In fact, back in the Greek and Roman culture, that word sin actually was an archery term. Like if somebody's shooting at a target and they miss the target, they sinned. They missed the mark. Well, that word came to be adopted to talk about the target that God gives for us, the standards that God gives us for life, and how we all fall short of that standard. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 puts it this way, "For everyone has sinned." We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all sin. There's not a person in this room that is not a sinner. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. And listen, let me tell you what I know about sinners. We don't need anybody to tell us that we're sinners. We already know it. We've lived with me, right? We've seen the things that we do, the thoughts that we have, the actions that we take, the guilt that we feel, the shame that we endure. We're all sinners. And the problem with sin is this. Sin works death in you and me. And this is where Jesus comes in. John chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish," that's that sin death, "who would not perish, but would have eternal life." Jesus came, gave himself, so you and I might live. He did the work of salvation that you and I could not do. He did the thing. He took away the sin that we could never take away. He did the work, and listen to the amazing offer of grace that God gives to us. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you understand what that verse is saying? It's talking about two different results, two different actions. And it talks about sin, and it says sin is like this. Sin is this thing that separates you and me from God. It pushes us away from God. And here's the thing, God is life. And so anything that separates us from God results in death. And it's not just talking about physical death, it's talking about eternal death. To be cut off from God is to be cut off from life. And listen again to what it said in Romans 6:23. It says, "The wages of sin is death." Now, you know what a wage is, don't you? A wage is what you receive based upon what you have earned, what you have done. When you work, you earn a wage, and the wage is what you get as a result of your work. And the wage of sin is death. Again, not just physical death, eternal death. But that same verse also talked about a gift. Now, a gift is undeserved. A gift is unearned. A gift is freely giving, and a gift has to also be freely received. It's not yours until you accept that gift. And what is the gift that we get through Jesus Christ? He says it is eternal life. Listen, that's called grace. In exchange for what I have earned, death, he offers the free gift of eternal life, and that's called grace. God's grace is that Jesus Christ paid a penalty that I could not pay for the sin that I have done. And Romans 5:8 says this, "And God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners." Isn't that amazing? God sent his Son to die for us, to do something about a sin problem that we could never deal with because of his great love for us. That's how God works. And when God is drawing you to himself, when you hear words like what I just said, you're going to feel that tug in your heart. If that's something that you hear and you think, man, that's what I need, there's this longing, that is the very work of the Holy Spirit who draws each of us to himself right now. So how do you respond when you know that's something that I need? I need what Jesus has done for me. Well, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 puts it this way. It says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Do you know him? Have you committed your life to him? Have you accepted the gift of what Jesus did for you? Have you believed in your heart? Have you openly declared that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Have you declared your faith? Listen, every person has to decide that for themselves. I remember when I made that decision. I was just a little tight, just 9 years old. And listen, I was one of those kids that when I grew up, I went to church regularly. And what regularly meant when I was growing up is that you went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday worship, and then you came back in the afternoon for training union. Anybody remember training union? Training union and Sunday night worship, and then I had to come back on Wednesday night, and we had prayer meeting. It was you know, all those services every week. In fact, I went to church so much, I went to church 9 months before I was ever born, three times a week, because my mama was going to be there, right? Every time, but listen, every person has to decide for themselves. And I can remember, as a nine-year-old boy, that day when I realized, you know what, my mama's faith's not going to get me into heaven. My daddy's faith is not going to get me into heaven. The preacher's faith isn't going to get me into heaven. I need to trust Jesus Christ for myself. And let me tell you, I believe it may have been one of the very first times that the Holy Spirit tugged on my heart, and I knew I want Jesus Christ for myself. And I committed my life to him, and I was baptized. Listen, it doesn't have to be at age 9. You could be 99. Wherever you are, wherever the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart and in your life, he begins to draw you to himself. Your part is to respond to that, to be available to that, to listen and to acknowledge and to step into believing in your heart and declaring openly that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And then we seal that commitment. We seal that decision by walking through the waters of baptism that become the public declaration to others that Jesus Christ has saved me. In fact, we're going to do something today that I've not ever done in 40 years of ministry. I want you to notice, we filled the baptistry in anticipation of today so that you would have the opportunity to be baptized this morning. I know you didn't plan. I know you didn't think about it. But before this service ends, you can respond and be baptized today. We've got everything you need. We have shorts. We have shirts. We have towels. And by sermon's end, you can move from where you're seated or where you will be standing, and you can come to this altar. It'll be open. We'll be here to talk with you, to walk with you, to answer any questions that you have. We're declaring this No Excuse Sunday. You have the opportunity today to say, I have been putting it off, but no more. I am going to openly declare Jesus Christ and step into faith and walk into the waters. Listen, there is a story in the book of Acts where there is a man who's just going about the daily activities of his day, who had no plans for baptism, and it was like the Holy Spirit showed up and it was a Jesus ambush. And that individual gave his life to Christ and was baptized that day. I want you to hear this story. It's in Acts chapter 8, and it begins in verse 26, and it says this: As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, Go south, down the Gaza road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candrake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, Go over and walk along beside the carriage. And I love this part. And it says, and Philip ran over. The Holy Spirit said, you just walk. And he's like, oh no, I'm in a hurry. And so he runs over and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture he had been reading was this: He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. It's a prophecy about Jesus. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I get baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. And meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus, and he preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Isn't that something? Here this guy is. He's just going through life. And Jesus got a hold of him. And it changed his life. It wasn't anything scheduled. It wasn't something that was on his calendar. But when the opportunity came, he made his move. And listen, sometimes you've got to be willing to take that first step, to just be bold, to be all in, to follow the tug of the Holy Spirit on your life. Listen, this story could be your story today. I shared earlier, this is not just my 15th year here at New Work Fellowship. This is New Work Fellowship's 25th anniversary year. Across those 25 years, 827 people have walked into the baptismal waters and sealed their commitment to Christ with a public declaration. 827 people have a story just like this guy. In my 15 years, I've been privileged to see 541 of you pass through the waters of baptism. And listen, I would love to see this happen to you today. A Jesus ambush where the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart and you respond by faith in declaring your obedience. You trust Jesus. This could be your day. No excuses, no reason to wait. Are you ready? Will you move from the spectator seats and get into the game? This is your day. But listen, it's not just about you. Remember where we began. In Christ, we, though many, are one body. It's all about community. We are a Jesus-declaring community. And even when you are baptized, declaring to others Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit works through you to draw others to Himself. Now, one other handout that we gave you this morning, not only that commitment card, that covenant commitment card, there's also this impact card. So let me ask you to pull that out for just a minute and let me talk about this. We've been using this membership, this impact card for some while now in our membership class. This is a reminder to us that every person is to be on the field. Every person is to be in the game. Every person is on mission. Do you understand that just like the Spirit of God placed Philip right where Philip needed to be, so that the Ethiopian would come to faith, do you realize that God has specifically placed you right where you are among the people that you do life with, so that the Holy Spirit through you can be a witness to those individuals and draw them to Christ? Everyone on the field, everyone in the game, everyone a part of the team. So this is what we do with this card. I want to ask you, so who are your three? And what I want you to do is to write down the names of three individuals that God's put on your heart. And then, man, you really want them to know Christ, to step into faith, to experience the gift of salvation. And listen, this card is yours. We're not going to collect it. We're not going to receive it. This is for you. This is for you. We want you to write down those three names, keep this card in a prominent place, and to regularly intercede and pray for those three people, because God's placed you where He's placed you to make an impact on somebody's life. So, who are your three? Maybe it's a spouse who's not yet committed Christ. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's that real annoying coworker. Wouldn't it be great if they found Jesus? Maybe you're the one to open the door for them. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a grandchild. Who is it that are your three? And write down those three names. Now, on the front of this card, there's a post-it note. I know you all thought we were getting ready to paint with all these color samples on the wall, but that's not what it's about. We want you to just write the first name of your three names on that post-it note. And a little later, we'll tell you when to place them before you leave, so that we can partner with you in praying. We just want the first name, because we don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. You just write down, this is the first name of somebody I'm praying for, and we're going to pray with you for them. So write down your three, and then write down those names. And we're going to stop here, and we're going to intercede to God the Father and ask Him to do a work in your three, that He would stir afresh their hearts, that He would open doors of opportunity where you can say a word, that He would open our eyes to see even who our three should be. So let me ask you to just hold your card like this, like you're holding your three, and then let me pray for your three, and you pray with me. Let's pray. God in heaven, we pray that you would do a work in our three. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would stir their hearts. We pray that you would open doors where we can say a word about Christ. We pray that you would enable us to live with such an awareness and such a sensitivity to your leading, that these three would be drawn to faith in you. And God, would you do a work in our hearts where we recognize the importance of listening to you and then boldly stepping into the opportunities that you give us. God, we want to see these people come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to see lives changed. We want to see salvation in these loved ones. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. A couple of years ago, during a series in which we were talking about vision of the church, there were several little vision nuggets that I shared with the church, just thoughts about what church could be. And this was one of them that I wanted to bubble back up today. I said this: can you imagine a church in which evangelism so captures the heart of the people that they are inviting their friends, sharing Jesus, and the baptistry is used every week? Could you imagine a church in which the baptistry is used in every service? Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that be something? Well, can't God do it? Can't God act in that way? Listen, what would it take I'll tell you what it would take for us to see that kind of a movement of God, His Spirit to move among people. First of all, those people will not pass through the waters of baptism until they have passed through our hearts, where we feel a heaviness to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Those people will not pass through those waters until they have passed through our prayers, where we have interceded and pleaded with God the Father to move in their lives. Those people, they will not move through those waters of baptism until we've been willing to share a word with them that they would know the saving truth of Jesus Christ. I tell you, could you imagine a church like that? Well, it begins with a people like that. And listen, I want to give you a tool. The idea of sharing our faith can be so big and scary, but it's so simple. I've walked you through just the Romans road today, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you go out today, there are tables on either side of the commons with these New Testaments. And inside that New Testament, there is a bookmark which has the Romans road. You can take this, you can go through this, underline those key verses, and you are equipped to be able to share a word with your three. Make sure you don't leave without your New Testaments today. Remember, I told you, this being a part of the family, this joining the team, getting on the field, it's all about community. And even baptism is about community. Did you ever think about the truth that baptism is never practiced alone? It's just not. It's practiced in community. It's a shared event. And I absolutely love the eagerness of that Ethiopian. I can imagine as they're riding along, and I kind of picture in my mind, they kind of hit a little rise, and out ahead of him, he saw that water. And he couldn't contain himself. He said, "Look, there is water. Why can't I be baptized?" Listen, is that where you are today? Are you all in? In a moment, this altar is going to be open. And what I mean by that is you're going to have an opportunity to move from where you are here to the front as soon as the music begins. Our pastors and elders, I've invited them to come to be here at the front to welcome you, to walk with you through a decision, to answer any questions that you have. And then they're going to take you, if you're ready for that decision, into the back over here in the 56th space where you can prepare and be dressed for baptism. And then today you can declare publicly and openly your faith in Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Listen, there is water. Why can't you be baptized today? But listen, one other thing. Baptism is not the finish line. This is just the starting line. It's the beginning of the journey. And if you have never walked through the baptismal waters today, this is your opportunity. And so in a second, I'm going to have you stand and we're going to sing. But like I told you last week, we're not going to sing and sing for a long time because life is short. Opportunities are but a moment. And you have a moment of opportunity right now. And like the young lady who came in the 8 o'clock service, not knowing that today was her day, you could come and declare your faith, and we will receive you right here at the front. So if you would, please stand with me as we pray, and then let me invite you to make your move. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you have done. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. We thank you for the hope that we have because of who he is and what he has done. He did the work that we cannot do. And Father, there are so many of us here who have already experienced that tug of the Holy Spirit where you drew us to yourself, where you saved us, where you cleansed us. And we declared openly, Jesus is Lord in my life. God, we want to see that happen for these people that we love, these who've come today. And Father, in this room right now, I pray that your Spirit would just tug on hearts and that we would respond in faith, just knowing that all I have to do is take that first step. So right now, Father, may we take that first step. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as the music begins, we invite you to come.